Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
So it's kind of funny because in past episodes, I had mentioned that you are my work wife. And you presented me with today's topic, which is going to make for an interesting show. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Journey to There radio show. We'd love to hang out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. We were at dinner the other night, Tracy, with another family, and we started talking about the show, and the wife of the family that we were with, she says, oh, I want to hear it. So as I started to bring up my Stitcher or Spoke app, I was bringing up one of them to show her how to get on. She was already on her iPhone. And she found us. You can actually load the podcasts app from iTunes if you have an iPhone and subscribe to Journey to There right from that app. You can also find us on iHeartRadio or right there at journeytothere.com. My wife, she listens on SoundCloud. So whatever is easier for you.
She does, like at work, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I was going to say.
She brings it up on her desktop.
There are 1,000 podcasts a week being uploaded
really?
To Apple right now because this medium has become so popular. And
I think we started a trend.
I think we did. But the thing about it is they still have not made it very intuitive. So if you really get confused, just go to our website at journeytothere.com and we've got a full length of directions for for the people like me out there who've got no navigation skills.
or just give me a call. I'll tell you how to get on. All right. Speaking of
hey, let's give everybody your phone number.
Let's not. All right. So now, speaking of wives, my wife was a part of my business for a short period. This is based on, you know, the information you gave me on the topic of the show. Now that
should we say what the topic is?
Well, I have. let me do this a little teaser first.
You're gonna keep it like you're gonna have like a lot of mystique around this,
right? So Russ and Elaine, you know, hubby and wifey, were working together. It did not work very well. I'm going to just keep a peaceful house by saying that it was due to my extremely high expectations, and I'll just say it had nothing to do with her time management skills. Nothing. Nothing at all.
Because she is listening on SoundCloud right now.
Nothing to do with time management. So you titled this episode, what I have is, wait, let me get the right soundtrack for this. Okay, here we go. Will you work, Tracy, will you work with me to manage and to file till death do us part? Say I do. Say I do.
I'm not agreeing to file anything.
You're not going to file?
I'm not filing anything.
Just say I do.
I won't, but I will.
All right. So,
do you see why I didn't get married in Johnson? My poor boyfriend. I was like, that's not going to work.
I'll do this, but I won't do that. All right, what is the official title of this episode? I guess I could just look on the website.
I'm sorry. I've just been torturing you because, you know, somehow when the idea of marriage comes up until 5 years ago when I met the love of my life, when the idea of marriage comes up, I just have like post-traumatic stress syndrome from all these horrible boyfriends that I had.
Oh, gosh, I hope they're not listening. I was horrible, huh?
Oh, I'm certain they're not listening because they're too scared. I'm like Taylor Swift on the audio documentary.
You're going to take a baseball bat to their headlights or whatever?
I'm like, you don't want to listen to my show, dude. I'll be talking about you. Okay, the title of the episode is Will You Be My Work Wife / Husband? Working together in your marriage is hard enough. Can your marriage withstand working together in your business?
Interesting.
And clearly, Elaine, who is not here to speak for herself, gives us a big fat no. You can't. And then it's great because, you know, we hang out outside of the studio sometimes. I mean, I don't know why we spend time together outside the studio because we spend so much great quality time in here. But even like when we're all together, our respective spouses refer to us as work husband, work wife. Uh-huh. And it really is pretty funny because we fight like husband and wife. We everything within the normal respects of what could happen at work in a professional situation, we do. But
the funny thing is she's probably listening.
Rabbit hole.
I'm sure she's listening right now and saying, "Wait, I thought everything was fine when we were working together."
Well, I can assure you one thing, that if Rob DeForge is listening right now, he will say, yeah, but nah.
Things are fine just the way they are right now.
But here's the thing. So as much as I was sort of like hemming and hawing around the whole subject of marriage and breaking out into a sweat and starting to shake and bounce on my chair and all these kind of things, the reality of the situation is I have had two wonderful husbands. One was a while ago, like late 90s. Uh-huh. And then there was a decade in between of really bad choices. And then there is my amazing husband that I am married to. And
cool.
He is the love of my life. And we've been married for 5 years. And, well, not quite five, but close. And here's the thing with this. And I've shared this on a show before. We had a whirlwind romance and we got married pretty quickly after we met. We were only knew each other and engaged for 6 months before we mm-hmm. actually got married. So I got over my commitment issues really fast. And then at the same time, so we met, got engaged, got married within 6 months. And guess what else?
What else?
Started a business together.
Ah, how did that work out for you?
And in addition to that, we also moved him from another state to where we live now. So what are those things that they say, like, what are the most like stressful things you can do in your life is like get married or divorced, move, change jobs.
Yeah.
Like those are like the top three. And we did them like all within like a 6 month window of time. Oh my gosh. Let me tell you something about stress. This has nothing to do with our topic, but I'm going to say it because it just came through my mind and that's what I do. Did you know, Russ, that your body does not know the difference between positive stress and negative stress, and therefore it processes it the same in your chemistry?
That makes sense. So stress is stress.
Stress is stress, and I did not know. I had a hard lesson with that during that six-month window of time because I was like the happiest that I had ever been in my life, but I was having all of the same symptoms and physiological indicators that I'd had when I'd gone through like the worst times in my life. And I'm like, wait a second, like I don't get this because I'm so happy and all this crazy stress, body stress stuff is happening. And they were like, yeah, your body doesn't know the difference. And it was such a big aha for me.
That is interesting you say that. Because lately, as busy as we have been getting, Tracy, you and I, I've been like, you know, stressed out, but I'm telling people, oh, but this is good stress. This is the stress that motivates me. It's good stress. I had no idea that I didn't think about it. It makes sense, but I haven't thought about it. You know what? It does. Stress is stress. So whatever psychological, physiological issues you have, it's going to happen either way.
And there are couples out there, and I know a couple of them, and I've observed several of them that are super happy in their existence as business partners and life partners, as well as, you know, when I very first started thinking about this topic, I was thinking about it more in the situation like you and I, where we are self-employed and we have a business together. And when my husband and I got married and we tried to start that business together. But as I started digging into more research, there are a lot of people who get married because they met in the workplace and because I guess, you know, the companies aren't, I guess, that harsh on nepotism stuff anymore, that they continue to work in the workplace as husband and wife. And that, I don't know. I mean, I guess it kind of my radar wasn't there, but I started to really realize there's so many more couples doing this in life than just as business partners. So you know, that was a big aha for me too.
It's funny you say radar. You want to talk about stress. I just met a couple that they are married and they are both air traffic controllers at major international airport.
Oh, holy cow.
Can you imagine what that house is like?
No. No. However, it's interesting that you say that because in my research, I found that one of the reasons why that you find a lot of couples that you just mentioned. So we speak about the entrepreneurial side of it, the corporate side of it, like you meet in the corporate, coming up the corporate ladder, uh-huh. so to speak, in your corporate work environment or your 9-to-5 work environment. And then there are these couples that I'll just call them like these elite status types in terms of stress. They're like at the elite status stress level. And those are they have to have a special agreement when they say their vows because of like doctors and lawyers and now air traffic controllers. That's amazing. Because there's so many specific stressors to those particular jobs that the divorce rate is very high amongst doctors and lawyers and when they're not married to someone in that field because their significant other doesn't understand necessarily the stressors of that specific area of their life. And it causes breakdown. And then all of a sudden, then you find that now the doctor is not married anymore to his wife, and now he's married to his nurse, or he's married to another doctor from the hospital because they get him or her. And I actually, one of our really good friends, he is a neurologist, and his wife is an OBGYN.
Oh, wow.
And she was chief of staff, and they have a 5-year-old, and they lived and commuted between two cities that were 3 hours away.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, are you just trying to put every stressor that you can possibly imagine on your marriage just to see what happens? Because this is not like,
when are they together?
This one. Well, they worked it out. Like, they, you know, he would be in the one city 3 days a week and she would be in the other city the other 2 days a week, I think. And then on the weekends, they spent time together. But I mean, I felt anxiety just watching that happen. And so so going through these types of couples, I just didn't have any idea that I was going to have such a bountiful amount of information outside of my own personal stories, which we still haven't even delved into too much. Power couples. Now, the power couples, I found some interesting stuff.
So what is your definition of a power couple?
So initially I thought I was going to be defining power couples as like Kanye and Kim, although I don't think anything about them is relatively positive or powerful. But I was really going down the celebrity route because, again, I think that's one of those jobs actually that falls back into the other category, which is the elite stressor category, because actors and actresses are often in other cities doing shoots in other places in the world. And they and I know that I've heard of all these kind of agreements that they try to have, like we try to go no longer than 3 weeks without seeing each other and things like that. But what I was able to find more information on, and which I think is far more interesting and compelling, are power couples such as like Bill and Melinda Gates, for example, because he clearly is the founder of Microsoft.
Right.
And then together they did their foundation.
Yeah, so she does some amazing things.
The foundation. And they have, one of the things that I found out about them that I thought was really interesting is that they say this under that they both need a separate set of alone time. And so at first I was like, oh yeah, I believe that. Because they travel separately. That's their thing.
Alone time, bathroom. There's your alone time.
Especially when you live in a small house. But we won't go there. Yeah. But Bill and Melinda Gates, she said, we really need to be, in order for our relationship to work and being married and being together, we require a lot of alone time. So we travel separately. But then I thought to myself, I think that's more of a business strategy, because if a plane goes down and they're both in it, then that's really not going to be great
I've heard of situations where powerful families or powerful business partners will never fly on the same flight together.
Right. And so my husband and I are not elite status stressor power couple, so we fly together. But I will tell you, I had an experience in my professional career. When I was the market manager for the cluster of radio stations that we've referenced that I worked for such a long period of time, there was once a year, I was the market manager, and then there was a general sales manager, and then there was a top seller. So we were basically, if you look at that only from a financial perspective, we were the three highest producing revenue individuals within this company of 12 radio stations. And we would take a trip together once a year in January because we were also really good friends, which in essence isn't the same as being a work wife or a work husband,
right.
But because we only worked all the time. So our friends were who we worked with.
Wait, you worked all the time?
Yes. Oh, especially then. Not proud.
I was being sarcastic.
But the owner of the radio station requested that I take a separate flight when we traveled together. He sure did. He said he had key person life insurance on me, and he did not want us to fly together.
Wow.
Swear to God.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, let's just say I didn't do that because I said, I will do that if you pay for my flight.
So how'd that work out?
And I guess he was willing to take his chances because I paid for my flight. And so I flew the way I wanted to fly. But yeah, so when I was thinking about that with Bill and Melinda Gates, I thought, you know, that travel separately thing, they're couching that under, oh, we need alone time. But I pretty much believe that that is a strategic business decision. However, and speaking of strategic business decision, this is the other thing that was so interesting. And I laughed out loud about this because my brain just kind of works this way. Like, I find it difficult sometimes. I'm just trying to have a nice, like, casual conversation with somebody, and somehow I'm ending up talking about, like, quarterly reviews and monetization and business revenue models. And they're, like, looking at me like, what? I thought we were talking about, like, who's the best massage therapist in the area. And then I'm talking about their business model. Well, Eventbrite co-founders.
Eventbrite?
Their names are Eventbrite. So Eventbrite, if you're not familiar with it, it's a very cool software online service where, let's say, like, if we decided, for example, which one day I'm sure we will, that we're going to have this live and in-person Journey to There event where people come and actually, like, get to visit with us in our live.
Oh, that sounds like
persona.
A good idea.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, just a shameless plug for us, is as our cities develop in our listening, I track them. And whenever we decide to do this, we're going to be hitting the city with the largest amount of listeners. So if you want us to come to your city, then just start telling all your friends that to listen to our show, and then you'll spike up into the like top three, and we'll come visit you. How is that for a live
commercial?
Yeah,
we can do a live remote broadcast.
A live broadcast from your city coming to you. But that's not what we're talking about today.
No.
But if we did that, Eventbrite would be the perfect solution because it is an online software program where you utilize it to sell tickets to an event. That's why it's called Eventbrite.
Got it.
And the founders, which is why we're talking about this in the first place, the founders, Kevin and Julia Hartz, who started Eventbrite.
Heart to heart.
Eventbrite. They do, and I'm sorry, I did. I laughed out loud at this. They do quarterly reviews of their relationship.
Oh my, are you serious?
I am serious. Now, it said, to be fair, it said that they did
business relationship
reviews.
Or their marriage.
Well, no, but see, here's the thing. No, quarterly reviews of their relationship inside their marriage in respect to the fact that they were running their business. Does that make sense?
It does.
So they start
it
this
does.
Business together. And the part of their business agreement when they started Eventbrite was that they were going to do quarterly reviews of their relationship to make and have like touch points. They'll be like, are we spending enough time together? Are we talking about work outside the business? I'm making these up, by the way, but this is what I would do if I was having a quarterly review. Are we sticking to our commitment to spending time together outside of work? Are we talking about work when we're spending time outside of work?
So they, I'd be like, are we spending enough time in the bedroom? Are we?
Yeah, well, those are conversations you have with your real wife. So, and good for you. That sounded like me because I'll have those kind of conversations with my girlfriends. Like I said, you know, we'll be sitting there trying to have lunch and are getting our nails done and something comes up about quarterly reviews and monetization and their eyes roll back in their head. But they actually made an actual effort and commitment to doing those every quarter. I don't know that they still do because Eventbrite's been successful for a while. So apparently they're making it work. But
well, apparently that worked because, you know, if Eventbrite has become more and more successful, then something they did went right.
Well, it did. And I think that communication, regardless of whether you work within your marriage as a marriage partner and working within and keeping the marriage and going in a positive direction that way, or whether you add that extra layer of commitment / stress by working together in your own business or the place where you go to work, that communication is absolutely like one of the, in my opinion, top two things that must happen in order to
totally.
Be successful.
One
is communication, and two, I think is so interesting because you actually said this when we opened the show, which was all about managing expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were actually trying to
I have
maybe
high expectations.
Make a point that I'm
you could
thinking
say
you were trying to make a point that you didn't think Elaine met your expectations, but perhaps it's possible that you did not manage those expectations or communicate clearly what those expectations were. And if you had done those two things, then perhaps maybe it would have been different, but don't answer that right now.
Well, I will say it had nothing to do with her time management. It was all me.
Yeah. I know. We have episodes called Time Capsule. We have episodes called Where Did the Time Go? We have episodes called It's Never Too Late to Start in every single episode. Oh, wait. God, I feel like we're starting to fight like a spouse, like a wife or a husband or something.
You're my work wife.
Woo! Oh, God, I have time management issues, I know, and you're over there sitting there going, well, I didn't bring yours up.
So but. My work wife and my actual wife have time management, but
well, you know what? And my work husband and my love of my life husband both have financial management skills that are beyond belief. So isn't that funny how we just choose the same personality type in both scenarios? So, but you know, one thing that you and I did not do going into this relationship was that we did not create a relationship contract.
Oh my gosh, you sound like, what's his name from Big Bang Theory? A roommate
well,
agreement.
Actually, oh, really? Well, actually, I was referring to Mark Zuckerberg because he's one of those power couples, and he and his wife, Priscilla Chan, famously detailed her requirements for Mark Zuckerberg's role in their marriage in a relationship contract before she would move from California, before moving to California to be with him. So she was, okay, here she's marrying a billionaire who has like probably one of the biggest game changer lifestyle companies in the world.
Yep.
I mean, like change the literal way the world turns.
Definitely.
And she's like, okay, dude, like I'll move out to California and hang out with you and be in a relationship with you. But you're going to have to sign this contract first because I ain't coming out there unless we can spend 100 minutes of shared time together per week. And they can't be spent in your apartment or at the Facebook office.
Listen, if there's ever going to be any kind of contract or relationship agreement between you and me, line one has to say that at least once a quarter, we have to have our business meetings at Cheesecake Factory.
And I have to be on time.
Yes.
And if I'm not on time, I have to pay.
No, if you're not on time, I get the Oreo cheesecake all to myself.
And I still have to pay.
Yes.
You cannot have that whole Oreo cheesecake, by the way. I will fight you for that. I will pay for it, but I will eat it too.
Oh,
so
I know you will.
Don't even go there.
All right. I'm curious as to, we'll get back to what you have to say. I'm curious as to how many married business partners ended in divorce due to the business. And just a thought. Tracy's takeaways are coming up after this, and then she's going to continue with her thought because we got to take a quick break.
Podcasting is becoming the hottest marketing platform and most personal way to convey your message to the world. Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? ProduceYourPodcast.com gets you there. Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at ProduceYourPodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. ProduceYourPodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
Will you work with me to manage and to file, to share my chocolate Oreo cheesecake till death do us part? Oh, and to run a business together. All right, so while during the break.
Oreo cheesecake, yes. The rest, we'll see.
So check this out. During the break, I was Googling. I typed in married business P. As soon as I typed the P in, the autocomplete choices, one of them was married business partners divorce. I did find that 80 to 90% of all businesses in the U.S. are family owned, and more than a few of these involve husband-wife teams running the business. I don't have any stats on how many end in divorce due to the business, but it is interesting that many businesses are family owned and operated.
You know, and normally when we open the show, I talk about how I was inspired, what inspired me to do the show and the topic and how the topic came about. Well, this topic came about from our previous episode, which was episode 69, where
is that the Ray Kroc?
Ray Kroc, right. Or maybe that was 68. Anyway,
yeah.
It's one of those in that area where it was like Persistence as a Kroc is the name of the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Because one of the things that he targeted when he was growing the McDonald's franchise side of the business was that he sold franchises to husbands and wives.
Yes.
Because they had a tendency to grow the businesses faster because they worked in the business together, which is one of the reasons why then that I kind of segued into this topic for our next episode. But in terms of stats, now I did not find any in regards to divorce either, but I have to tell you, obviously divorce wasn't on my mind because I was looking at the positive side of the stats.
I like that.
And I found, the irony is not lost on me, the name of this study is Valentine's Day Survey. And it was a national survey conducted online by Harris Poll on behalf of Career Builder. And this was done in 2016 and included about 3,400 full-time private sector workers across industries and all company sizes. So of that, it says 41% of workers have dated a coworker. That was up from 37% last year and the highest since 2007. Hmm. And additionally, 30% of these office romances have led to marriage, which is on par with last year's founding. So that is a little bit interesting if you think about it, because they're up. We're up 41% from 37% in dating, but the number of marriages have stayed the same.
And then so, there's the ones, okay, so one of you has to quit now because we have a policy that you can't be married and work for this company. I've heard of that.
Well, and you know what? Even if that wasn't the policy, this is actually one of the takeaways, is that before you enter into any kind of marital type, business type relationship situation, whether it's starting your own business together or getting married after you meet at work or going to work for the same place when you're married, you really need to take into consideration and take a good look at your financial landscape, because all of a sudden you're literally putting all of your financial eggs in one basket. And, you know, that's not necessarily a very diverse portfolio, diversified portfolio of income, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Like, if you feel really compelled and passionate to do that, then not only are you trying to maintain the passion within your marriage, but you also need to take into consideration if you are financially solid enough to take that type of risk.
You should hear some of the marital nightmares for married couples. They get together and, like, let's say, I'll put it in a positive way for you. Let's say the wife adopts the husband's awful credit score and credit card debt, and they get married and all of a sudden they're, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in debt.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden there's two people responsible for that debt, and
exactly.
One person that incurred it, and then that's not very happy. That better
you
be
think?
In your relationship contract or your prenup, whichever
prenup,
way
right.
You're going with that. Or you better have it in there that you'll get a second job that you will to pay off that debt. But, you know, there are a couple of things. So we talked about managing communications, and these, I really feel like that this is a good advice for any relationship, whether you're married, single, your best friend, you know, relationship with your child. I mean, these are just really good fundamental core principles for having and maintaining a successful relationship. And it really is about communication. So you need to communicate about if you're going into that relationship and you have that debt, or you're going into starting a business and you want to make sure that you're financially solid and that it's not going to really impact you if it doesn't work out, so to speak. And then managing those expectations. We referenced that. That's probably, in my opinion, the most important part of this mix, is because we're not mind readers, and you found that in your real marriage, you found that in your real relationships, you found that, you know, I mean, even, you know, sometimes I feel like my dog can read my mind, but, you know, sometimes like she wishes I could read hers and be like, can you take me outside?
Yeah, I gotta go.
But exactly. And so really that whole idea of managing expectations, because if you do not do that, what it does is it sets you up for resentments that your counterpart, whether it's your work wife or real wife, they all of a sudden are experiencing your resentful side towards them, and they have no idea what's even going on. And that's because your expectations weren't met, and therefore you are building this resentment towards this person, and they don't even realize that they didn't meet your expectations and can't understand why you're mad at them.
Okay, so, I'll take that advice, because I'll have to say, folks, if you have unattainably high expectations, it may be healthy to lower those expectations just a tad.
Right. Or in the case with my husband, we literally have a conversation like, what are your expectations in this situation? And you will laugh at this, Russ, but it's 100% true. When we're about to go out of town, and if we're driving the night before, I have a conversation with him that goes like this. What are your expectations for the time for me to be sitting in the car and pulling out of the driveway?
Okay.
And if he tells me it's 8 a.m., then at 7:30 a.m., he's not allowed to say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready? Are you going to be
Rob,
ready? Are you ready?
Rob, if you're listening, if you want that time to be 8 a.m., tell her 6:45 a.m. Hey, thanks for joining us for our 70th episode today. I'm not going to let you say anymore. If this is your first time, If this is your first time hearing the show or you missed any past episodes, feel free to binge listen to all the shows. It's better than binging on chocolate Dove bars. Find everything on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SiriusXM's app. It's called Spoke or JourneyToThere.com. And if you have an iPhone, just use the podcast app. It's very easy. You've been hanging out with us at the intersection between personal and business growth, along with my work wife, Tracy DeForge. I'm the work hubby, Russ Reba. This is Journey to There. Tracy, not tonight. I have a headache.
Oh my God!
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit JourneyToThere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's JourneyToThere.com.